If you are if you're new, we're glad you came out today. This is a really unusual Sunday to visit our church, but we want to welcome you today to City on the Hill. And my name is Bland, and as I tell people, my name is Bland, and I'm a pastor. But hopefully, I'm not a bland pastor. So, the three of you that laughed, that was thank you. I am a dad. So I'm going to go for about 15 minutes today, which if you ask anyone at City on a Hill is very unusual. But don't worry, come back next week. I'll preach for an hour and make up for it. So, but we're going to go for 15 minutes today and talking about service, because that's what we're doing today as a church. And it's going to have application to anyone, but especially to us as a congregation as we go out and serve. Next week, I'm really excited. We're going to start a series called Together for Boston with 13 other churches around the city. It's an amazing series we're working on together, collaborating together, and you should see some social media stuff posts about that this week. We're going to talk about service today, and if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at just a couple of verses, around verses 43 through 45, and I'll get there in a moment, but everyone I know thinks that service is a good idea. Like, I don't think I've met anyone that's been like, no, I really don't think that we should serve others. I think it's better if we just serve ourselves. Everyone thinks it's good for those who are in need to be served, and then we would all agree that it's good for us. That it's good for us when we serve others. There's something that happens inside of us. We'd all acknowledge that it is good and beneficial, but most of us would admit that we don't serve like we want to, or maybe should, or we have a nagging sense that somehow we should be serving better or serving more. And we could talk about the reasons why that doesn't happen. We could talk about being really busy, or the season of life we're in, or the particular challenges we're facing. And just to let you rest, if that's you right now, and you're like, I am in the midst of the craziest, most intense period of my entire life. Listen, God has grace for that. Okay, so He's not. You know, this isn't a message for you. But I think we would all admit that sometimes there are those really intense times and crazy times. And we don't have a lot of bandwidth to serve. And yet sometimes we also, when things aren't quite as busy, we will use the same excuses, won't we? Life is busy. Well, honestly, I find myself saying that to people all the time. How are you doing? How's everything going for you? Busy? Like, I don't think I've ever said, not really busy. So life just seems to be busy, right? It seems to be busy for all of us. And sometimes we use that as an excuse as to not to serve. And I want to, again, give grace to those who are in those particular moments. But what really keeps us from serving? If we're using these excuses, what is it behind those excuses? And I think if we're honest, we would accept the fact that there are deeper things going on in our heart, things that are keeping us from serving, our selfishness, our pride. It's interesting that when you look at organizations that motivate people to serve, or if you watch a commercial where they're trying to get you to step out to serve, to do something, they often like try to target several motivations, which are great, but they're all out here. So, you know, you get the positive motivation. You can make a difference, right? And like that resonates with us. We like that idea. Some say, some use the subtle guilt. Don't you have time to give, you know, to serve in this way, you know? And if you were really had to answer the question, don't you have time to serve this need? There's also the showing example. Look at this person who has served and how amazing it was for them and the person that they served. And so they use these motivations. Now, a lot of times they'll work in one way or another because, number one, we all have a little subtle, like low-grade guilt for not serving enough. So when they tap into that, we'll often step into serving, but it's short, it's brief, and we have a problem sustaining that because guilt's never a good motivation long-term. It's an immediate motivation, but not a good long-term one. The reason that these methods don't really work is that deep in our hearts resides selfishness. Resides pride, resides this self-centeredness about life. And that's really why we fail to serve like Jesus. The ironic thing is that Christians have the lens of God's word and the Holy Spirit to be able to reflect on that. And how many of you know you're selfish and self-centered? Okay. How crazy is that? We know it's the problem, but it still doesn't make us serve. We know the problem. We know why we don't serve, but we still don't serve like Jesus. And it's because there's something deeper going on than simply the motivation or the recognition of why we're not motivated to give. The good news is that the Christian life, the calling to follow Jesus is not a calling to do the right thing because it's the right thing. It's not a calling to serve fundamentally because of the benefits of those who need serving. It's not even a calling to simply follow Jesus and do what you're supposed to do. We can't follow Christ's example, can we? The calling, Christian call to serve like Jesus, is a call to serve because of Jesus. Because Jesus has served us. And that's like what we're going to be talking about today, is that we serve, Christians are to serve because we've been served. And in his serving of us, Jesus did something to us. It wasn't just that somebody came through when we had a big need and helped us out, but that's now in the rearview mirror. No, Jesus stepped in and served us in a way that sustains us, gives us life, gives us hope, gives us a future. And that is why we serve, because we've been served. Mark 10, Jesus' disciples were actually arguing about who the best was and who deserved to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus. And it's interesting that this conversation happens over and over again in the Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, and Mark chapter 10. There's this basic same conversation. Which one of us is the best? Who's the best? Who's going to get to sit at your right hand? Who's going to sit at the left hand? And the idea is here that these guys were wanting to be served. They didn't get it. They had walked with Jesus, and they didn't get it. They wanted to be served, not to serve. And what did Jesus do? Jesus turns their whole philosophy on its head. Look at just verse 43 through 44. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Now, if that text was on its own, Jesus just set an impossible standard for us, didn't he? I mean, I would just tap out at this moment. I can't do that, Jesus. I can't overcome my own desire to want to be first. I can't overcome my own desire for me to be the center. I can't overcome my own selfishness. And this would be a rule. This would be an impossibility for you and I. But Jesus didn't stop there. Thank God he didn't stop there. Then verse 45, which is one of the first verses I actually memorized after coming to faith in Christ. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the message. I love it. Jesus didn't go, you know, if you want to be servant of all, then you should, you know, if you want to be first, you should be servant of all. If you want to be the best, you should be slave to all. By the way, for even I, the greatest human being who's ever lived in the history of the universe, because I am God of the universe, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so what I want to look at quickly are the principle of service and the power to serve and live that principle out. The principle is that we serve because Jesus served us. Can we say that out loud together? We serve because Jesus served us. That's the short answer of why you're doing what, if you're going out to help with the move today, that's why that's the motivation. Now, please don't present to them that we just think we're good people or that this is what our church does, like, because then it's like this subtle form of boasting. If you don't let them know that Jesus is the reason we're doing this, it just sounds like we're a very, really good humanitarian organization. We are not a humanitarian organization. We are a bunch of selfish, prideful people who want ourselves to be first. But we're serving because Jesus served us. Jesus came, the King of the universe, came and served by living a sinless life, dying on the cross in our place, rising from the grave to give us eternal life. His service is our salvation. His service is our hope. His service is the only way we get to God. Everything Jesus did was about service. This is pictured throughout his lifetime on earth, even leading up to the cross. Many things Jesus did were sort of filling out the picture or painting the picture of the cross. And one story that I love is in John 13, Jesus is having dinner with his disciples, and they all showed up off the streets. And this really crazy thing kind of happened, because you have to understand the most disgusting thing you could do in the first century of Jah was washing other people's dirty feet, because they didn't have like nice tennis shoes to wear around. So they went out in the streets and walked in, you know, cow, horse manure and everything else, anything. They didn't have good sewage. So you can just imagine like what you walk through in a whole day walking around the city or the countryside. And they come in, and they come into the house, and they're reclining at the table, and Jesus gets up. And he takes off his outer garment, which is a sign of basically humbling himself. He takes on a towel, and he gets down on his feet and washes his disciples' feet. Now, to give you like a perspective on this today, it would be the equivalent of, I tried to think about who I could pick, but there was no one I could pick that wasn't controversial for somebody. But imagine your favorite Supreme Court justice, because we've all got one. somewhere across there, you connect with one of them, or maybe more. But think of that Supreme Court justice coming to your home for dinner. You sit down and you eat, and then they get up, and they pull out a t-shirt out of their bag, and they throw this old t-shirt on, and they pull out some supplies, and they head to your bathroom. And you're like, what are you doing? And they go in there, and they're scrubbing your toilet. I mean, elbows in, like just scrubbing it, every square inch of it. And they're not complaining, and they're not looking at you and go, what happened here? You know, like, what's going on? Like, there's no questions, there's no griping, there's only cleaning. And there's a joy in it. And you're like, no, please stop. Please. What would you do? Get up now. Stop this. I'll clean it later. Like, this is a Supreme Court justice cleaning your toilet. And that's what it was like to have the Son of God get down and wash the disciples' feet. This was below him. This wasn't his job. But Jesus needed to picture to these selfish, self-centered, pride-filled people like you and I that what service really looks like. And he was showing us that one day he would die on the cross. He would serve us by taking on all of our sin on the cross, on himself, to wash us clean, to make us pure, to make us whole. Jesus died to take away all of our guilt and shame and sin. And the great thing is he died to take the selfish part of me that doesn't want to serve. So we serve not to get God now. We serve not to get God to like us. We serve not to assuage our guilt or to make us feel better. We don't serve to pay Jesus back. We serve because he came to serve us and gave his life as a ransom for us. That's the principle, okay? Now, we still haven't quite gotten to the power yet. He's died for us. We're clean. We're made whole. So I'm forgiven of my selfishness. But now I need something to actually go be like Jesus, because I'm just sort of at neutral right now, if you will. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. The power is that we serve because Jesus lives in us. Can we say that? We serve because Jesus lives in us. Sorry, I got you were repeating me and not what's on the screen. That's good. I appreciate that. We serve because Jesus lives in us. Don't serve to be like Jesus. I would say that. Don't serve fundamentally out of a motivation to try to be like Jesus, because you have no more ability in yourself to be like Jesus than I have to play basketball like LeBron James. There is no capacity in multiple ways. You can't be like Jesus in and of yourself. But you can be like Jesus because Jesus lives in you. He didn't just come to ransom us, to forgive us, so that we could go to heaven when we die, but he died to bring us into a right relationship. This is what it means that Jesus is both the means and the end of the gospel. He's the means in that his death was sufficient for us, his death in our place, but then it was so that we could know Jesus, walk with Jesus, and live with Jesus. And some of the one of the cool things that begins to show up early in Jesus's or immediately after he died is he began to say things like Matthew 28 verse 20. He said, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." If you don't know, that was the ascension scene. Jesus was taking off, but he's like, "I'm with you," which points to the reality that Jesus lives in us. It frees us from our selfishness and empowers us now to live like Jesus, to serve like him. Paul, in speaking about preaching the gospel and in serving the churches, Colossians 1:29, he says this, "For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he," Jesus, "powerfully works within me." That's the thing we have to remember. You're not going to serve like Jesus because you try real hard. You're going to serve like Jesus when you're walking with Jesus, when you're close to Jesus, when your mind and your heart are near to Jesus. It's staggering, having been in ministry now for a couple of decades, and to look and to see points in my own ministry where I felt like I was doing things for Jesus because they were the things I was supposed to do. And yet, along the way, I know that there were times that Jesus was really near me, and that there were times I really spent more time in prayer and just really fellowshipping with him and knowing him, and there was always fruit. And I can point to those times. I can tell you those times that Jesus was in me in the sense of I felt his presence through me. That's what it means to serve like Jesus. You see, you and I are always either being shaped by our selfishness or we are killing our selfishness. We are either being shaped by our pride or killing our pride. We are either being shaped by wanting to be first, that part of us, or Jesus is helping us to kill that. Every time you serve like Jesus, every time you serve with Jesus, you are killing that part of you. You can think of it this way. I put this on the screen. My service is the antitoxin to my selfishness. Can we say that out loud? My service is the antitoxin to my selfishness. The toxin of selfishness will destroy you. Have you ever met a truly selfish person in your life that you envy? Like, you know, I wish I was like them. They seem so happy. No. It is destroying them, isn't it? Aren't the most selfish people among us the most pitiful people? And Jesus, as he lives in us, is the antitoxin. As we serve, it removes that from our system. It kills that selfishness. Not all at once, but slowly. So Jesus served you and now lives in you. So you have both the calling to serve like Jesus and the power to serve like Jesus. For you and I, that's how we serve. That's how Christians are called to serve. Not fundamentally out of guilt or out of even a need. Like, yes, we see a need, but we're motivated by the love of Jesus for that need, not out of a sense of guilt. We're motivated to step in and fill that need because Jesus stepped in and filled our need. And that is also the way, by the way, you make sure you don't kill yourself serving. Because we all know those people that need to be needed, and they've never met a need they won't try to meet. No matter how burned out, unhealthy, or toxic they are as human beings, they have to serve. They can't handle anyone being disappointed with them or saying no in any situation. That's not healthy. That's not serving like Jesus. You know what? Jesus took a nap sometimes. Jesus didn't go talk to everyone in Israel. He didn't. He didn't try to meet every need. And if anybody had the capacity to meet every need, it was Jesus. And so only when you're serving like Jesus will you avoid sort of that path where you neglect it, or on the other side where you're just killing yourself doing it. Because Jesus will help make sure that you're healthy. So as we close, just a few application points. Serve in your workplace. Look for how you can demonstrate the love of Christ in your workplace. Be that person that brings donuts in the morning or, you know, muffins or whatever. Be that person that welcomes the new person in your workplace. Don't make them come to you, go to them. Be that person that remembers somebody's birthday. Be that person that recognizes that so-and-so is having a really hard day and care for them. Serve in your neighborhood. Listen, if you live in anywhere near any of the, where all the big moving is happening, you're going to have new neighbors. Just go bring some cookies to them and say hi. I mean, you can buy them from Trader Joe's, just dump them out of the box, put them on a plate, and they'll think you made them. You don't have to say, I made these cookies for you. Just say, hey, here's some cookies. But they will appreciate it. And if you give them a plate, then you have to come back to get it, or they have to come bring it to you. So, community groups. Look for ways to serve in your community group. Your community group is not a place for you to come and consume. Your community group is is your family. And when members of your family are having a hard time, you care for them. When they're going through a struggle, you look out for them. Do things like circulate prayer requests, send scripture to each other, reach out. If you know somebody's having a hard time at work, just reach out randomly and say, hey, just praying for you today. Hope you're doing okay. Maybe organize a meal for someone who's going through a crazy time in their life. Maybe they're not having a baby or getting married or dealing with the loss of someone, but they're just going through a hard time. Bring them a meal. It's okay. It's all right to bring them a meal and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Serve at COA. We rolled out, many of you were around last week, we had lined the front here with like 50 people that were going to Brighton, and it was an awesome day, but that was about 15 of our like just solid COA kids volunteers. Like many of them were teaching and leading and doing like just killing it, and we are short right now on COA kids volunteers. And I know some of you are like, well, I don't want to sign up for the next 5 years. You don't have to. Well, honestly, this is my opinion. I feel like every time this happens, we just need some people for a few months. So if you're willing to serve once a month in COA Kids, we'll let you help you pick the grade, age that you work with. We could really use your help. You can put that on the back of your connection card today. You can email Janie, janie@coachurch.org. Set up and tear down teams. I've noticed sometimes that where three people from a community group show up for setup. and it's like, oh, everybody's out of town this weekend. Huh. And I would just say, be aware that even if you are traveling, that you ought to talk to your community group leader and say, hey, you know, it looks like 80% of our group's going to be out of town next weekend. Maybe we can switch rather than going, sweet, I'm out of town. I mean, you won't say that to the group, but you'll say, I'm traveling next week. But this is how we serve each other. We set up these chairs. There are people who come and sit in these chairs who have never met Jesus. We set up these chairs. We set up everything in order to care and welcome people. We want to be hospitable. Listen, there's sometimes people have never been to a church service in their entire life come to City on a Hill. We want to make sure there's it's a welcoming space for them. We also want to help with just greeting people. We made a good shift when we started here back at Easter. People were coming a little bit earlier, and now we're back at the Driscoll days where it's, you know, 5-10 minutes after, and people roll in. Listen, I know if you have kids, it's like herding cats to get, you know, and every Sunday morning is different. It's like Sunday morning, they've forgotten what clothes are. They've forgotten, they don't know where, the bathroom is. And, you know, and you're like, what is happening? I think it's Satan. But I was a parent and I know that deal. So don't get me wrong. I understand that. There's grace for those opportunities. But if you're like just constantly, consistently, always late, then you will never be here to welcome a new person unless it's your job. And that's not how we roll. We are a hospitable, loving, caring church. I've seen that in the last month in beautiful ways. But what if we cared for the person who was visiting and welcomed them and made it our priority when we come on Sunday morning not to be served, even if we're not on a community a setup team or whatever, but we come with the mindset of serving. There's someone I can serve today. And then today, as we go out, as you meet people, as you lift that 150-pound box of bricks, the person packed for some reason to go up to their fifth floor, you know, and you want to just throw it out the window at the second landing, you know. Just remember Jesus. Don't muscle through it. Let your mind and your heart remember the lengths that Jesus went to serve you. find his strength, find his help, find his love and compassion for that person.